WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Call them the Oscarheimers. Christopher Nolan's movie about the atomic bomb took home 7 Academy Awards on ABC last night, including Best Director.
Starting with the release of the film in July, the response from people around the world far exceeded anything that I'd imagined possible.
The upset, Poor Things' Emma Stone took Best Actress over Killers of the Flower Moon's Lily Gladstone.
It's not about me. It's about a team that came together to make something greater than the sum of its parts. And that is the best part about making movies.
Killers got no Oscars. Barbie got just one. Song for Billie Eilish. It makes her the youngest to win a 2nd Oscar. KNX's Margaret Carraro.
Following the historic win, the 22-year-old was asked what she would say to a young person dreaming of a life in music.
Don't do it for other people. I want everyone to be doing something that they feel passionate about and that they feel proud of.
Eilish and her brother won their first Oscar in 2022 for the James Bond song No Time to Die.
Outside the Dolby Theater in L.A., reminders of the war in Gaza. Protesters snarled traffic as stars arrived at the red carpet.
There's no business as usual, including Oscars, when a genocide is going on. And we wanted to denounce the Academy for their silence.
The Ukrainian director who won for his documentary 20 Days in Mariupol said he'd rather have no Oscar and no war. Violence is escalating in Haiti, where gangs are trying to take over the government. The U.S. military says it's airlifted non-essential embassy staff out of the capital, Port-au-Prince. The Miami Herald's Jacqueline Charles.
The U.S. Embassy is actually located in a crossroads of about 3 powerful gangs. I mean, the country is at near collapse.
Breaking news overnight in the Middle East, the Yemeni branch of Al-Qaeda has announced the death of its leader. Circumstances are unclear. Khalid al-Batarfi had a $5 million bounty on his head from the U.S. government. No sooner had Kensington Palace released a photo of Kate Middleton for Mother's Day in the U.K., the news agencies issued a kill order. CBS's Matt Piper.
The image was retracted because, as the AP says, at closer inspection, it appeared the source had manipulated the image in a way that did not meet AP's photo standards.
Part of Princess Charlotte's arm appeared to be missing. Her mom has been recovering at home and out of sight since abdominal surgery back in January. S&P futures are down 12. Dow futures off 106. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden will be back in Wisconsin next week. He'll headline a campaign event in Milwaukee on Wednesday. The White House is saying no more than he'll take part in political events. The general election is underway for all intents and purposes. Biden and Donald Trump's primary opponents have all dropped out of the race. One of Wisconsin's largest lobbying groups is appealing a ruling that says that the State Department of Natural Resources can require large livestock farms to get wastewater permits before they pollute local waters. Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce's legal team sued the DNR on behalf of 2 large farms last year. They say that requiring large-scale farms to get the permits is burdensome regulation. Earlier this year, a judge ruled that the DNR does have broad authority to require wastewater permits. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Brewers drop one to the Rockies.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports.
The Brewers losing to the Rockies 3-1. The good news is Brewers right-hander Jacob Junis pitched 4 scoreless innings. No hits, no runs, not even a walk. Bad news is closer Devin Williams to have his sore back checked out in L.A. on Wednesday. Over the weekend, Brewers first baseman Reese Hoskins crushed a grand slam in a win over the Oakland A's. The crew face the Cubs tomorrow. NFL free agency getting underway. Packers to release linebacker Devondre Campbell in a move that could save them over $10 million.
$1 million in the salary cap money. NBA, the Bucks wrap up their road trip tomorrow night in Sacramento against the Kings after beating the Clippers 124-117. Damian Lillard combining with Giannis for 69 points and gave credit to their coach.
You know, I think Doc has done a great job of talking about our spacing after they give us that attention. So the playmaking is also, product of us doing that.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have a couple of very nice days coming up here this week. Today, mostly sunny. We'll get to 68 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, 42. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 64. On Wednesday, mostly cloudy, near 60, with showers possible by Thursday and Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Hey, everybody. Todd Allball here. Noon to 2 on Monday. We'll help you recover from daylight saving time and take a look back at the happenings from the weekend right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbar Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbar.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbar with our outstanding producer, the fastest fingers in the West on the keyboard, Mr. Aaron Zommers, along with us answering your phone calls as well. It is 6 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Here in the Civic Media Radio Network across Wisconsin and on the Civic Media app. It is Friday, TGIF, March 8th, 2024. Breaking down the State of the Union last night, President Biden giving the speech on the floor of the House of Representatives. Thanks so much to our friend and colleague, Mr. Trygve Olsen, Senior Advisor at the Lincoln Project, for making a special effort and being here on a Friday. Mr. Zommers, it's a twofer for Trygve.
Absolutely. You got a double dose of Trygve this week.
and the better, all the better for it, you understand. It's exactly what we need. So we appreciate him taking the time to be here. We're going to talk a little bit more in this hour about the State of the Union. And then we're going to talk also, and timely indeed, as the great Mike Lucas is fond of saying, the Associated Press reporting this morning, another burst of hiring shows off the resilience of the U.S. job market. Right on cue, as it turns out. The Republicans set this up perfect, you understand. Mike Johnson was trying to stick it to Biden and saying we're going to hold off the State of the Union until later on in the year. Normally, it's the end of January, first part of February. I said a couple of days ago, this is going to come back to bite them, the Republicans. Because all they did was put this in after the Super Tuesday, and then boom, they're kicking off the campaign. Also, welcome in news director Terry Bell. How are you doing, Terry?
To say. Don't mind me. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Terry, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
He's doing well. Always great to have a guest appearance by Terry Bell. What?
Like Bob Hope.
You know, it's like the old U.S. Old Show, yeah. God love you. Good to have you here. Anyway, we're going to talk about the economy a little bit later on this hour and also get to an interview from Barry Alvarez. He's talking the former athletic director of the Wisconsin Badger sports program. Barry Alvarez speaking out on name, image, and likeness deals for college. And then from our own Civic Media, our own Jimmy Cuska wrote a great story. Could NIL be coming to Wisconsin high school athletes? And I'll tell you why this is a ridiculously terrible idea. Get your phone calls as well. Right now, though, at 9 past the hour of 1 o'clock, wanted to go back to a couple more things on the State of the Union from last night. I thought Joe Biden hit it out of the park. I thought he hit on a lot of things that most Wisconsinites could agree upon. One of those was the infrastructure bill. I would argue the most successful piece of legislation since Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. And it was all put together with the help of Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg, which I think, for my money, has been the most successful secretary in Biden's cabinet thus far. And President Biden, remember, President Biden was here a month or so ago. We were up in Superior. We covered it when the president came to Wisconsin to Superior to announce this $1 billion as part of the infrastructure deal to bring a brand new bridge connecting Superior in Wisconsin to Duluth in Minnesota. Here was the president last night in the State of the Union talking about infrastructure.
And thanks to our bipartisan infrastructure law, 46,000 new projects have been announced all across your communities. And by the way, I noticed some of you strongly voted against it, or they're cheering on that money coming in. I like it. I'm with you. If any of you don't want that money in your district, just let me know. Modernize our roads and...
I thought that was fantastic. He called it right out because, of course, our very own toxic Tom Tiffany, Republican congressman from northern Wisconsin, was one of those people who voted against the infrastructure bill but ended up getting $1 billion of it in Superior in his own district.
Oh, yeah. It's people like – this is just like – this is a live version of the tweets that I've seen a lot of where people like Tom Tiffany will put out a tweet and be like, hey, we're super grateful to have this – infrastructure money in our community and replace this bridge. And then the community notes on it will be like, Tom Tiffany voted against this bill repeatedly.
Yeah. They love it. They love the money. They know it's helping their district, but they can't upset the Trumpster or they know they'll get primaried. And so they do what the Trumpster wants and votes against what helps their own people and their own district. And I thought it was great the way that Joe Biden just called him out, just kind of matter-of-factly off the cuff and said, hey, if you don't want the money, let me know. We can put it somewhere else. we talked about the Republican response last night. This Senator Britt from Alabama, speaking of, backwards folks in this Senator Britt, who gave this bizarre Republican response. And again, I've been watching these things for 40 years as a former Republican until 2011 as a political strategist, as a person who's run campaigns. These replies are never easy. I've helped write them for former bosses. My former boss was the Senate Majority Leader, and he had to give the Republican response to then Democratic Governor Jim Doyle, State of the State. And what we did, we decided to do something different and unique. We started, I think we were one of the first I ever know about it, and now it's kind of common. We gave what we called a pre-buttal. So instead, because you kind of get what the governor or the president's going to say before it's public, the opposition, you're just allowed that courtesy, and you kind of know anyway. And so we put together a pre-buttal, and we put it out there actually before the governor gave his State of the State. It was, something unique and a little gimmicky, but, it worked. So I understand how tough these things are to write, but usually in a rebuttal or a pre-buttal to the governor or the president, you try to find one or two things to say, well, look, we can work with the governor or the president on this. There are certain things that unite all of us, and this is what we can agree upon. But here are two or three things that we think we should do differently. But last night, Senator Britt, it was a bizarre, bizarre Republican response from her kitchen table where she was giving this melodramatic response, and one texter off the text line here at WMDX texted in and said, quote, I watched the State of the Union last night, and I was waiting for the Alabama senator to start singing Don't Cry for Me, Alabama. I'm sure that Madonna would have been impressed.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. The truth is, I never left you. All through my wild days, my mad existence, I kept my promise. Don't keep your distance.
We are. This is fantastic. This is fantastic. I don't know who that was that texted that in, but God love you and thank you. We're going to work up some stuff around that.
Yeah, definitely.
It could not be more spot on. I mean, absolutely.
And we stand with you. I know you're frustrated.
That's not That's not AI. That's not cut up. That's not spliced. That was her actual speech. That was a clip for her actual speech.
And her facial expression is so creepy. It's just weird.
It's super creepy. Dana from La Crosse listening in on the Eagle up there, the Eagle, WXCL, saying, quote, she looked like a high schooler trying out for the drama club, unquote. Badly, she says.
Well, it's just like what Trigvy said, where it's somewhere, the acting on it was somewhere in between a porn star and a high school drama.
That was really good. That was really, really good. If you still want to share your thoughts on the State of the Union last night, appreciate your calls, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the old Civic Media app. If you don't have it, pardon me, download it today on your Apple or Android device. It is free. It takes less than a minute. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. The Civic Media app, get it today if you're Apple or Android device. So almost on cue, after the president starts touting the economy, and remember where we, and the Republicans, of course, yesterday said, to before the president spoke, we're going to keep asking people, Americans, were you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And of course, 4 years ago, we were in the opening innings of the pandemic. Businesses shuttering, couldn't buy toilet paper, much fewer groceries on the shelves. Gas prices going up, people isolated, people having extraordinary mental health crises, healthcare workers being overwhelmed, refrigerator trucks and parking lots of hospitals as mobile morgues due to COVID because the president didn't take it seriously at first at the time, President Trump. That's where we were 4 years ago compared to where we are today. And here's where we are today on the economy from the Associated Press. America's employers delivered another healthy month of hiring in February, adding a surprising 275,000 jobs, and again, showcasing the U.S. economy's resilience in the face of higher interest rates. Last month's job growth market, an increase from a revised gain of 229,000 jobs in January. At the same time, the unemployment rate has ticked up about 0.2 of a point in February to 3.9%. Now, look, anything under 4%, you're still absolutely fine. There's a certain amount of unemployment. If you had zero, that would mean that every single person had a job, and you know, it's that in and of itself would almost be a sign of an unhealthy economy to have unemployment at zero. On with the story here, though. That was the highest rate in 2 years. It is still low by historic standards. So that's the important part here. It marked the 25th straight month in which the jobless rate has remained below 4%, the longest such streak since the 1960s. Let me say this again. Unemployment now at 3.9% as of today, the new report shows, marking the 25th straight month in which the jobless rate has remained below 4%, the longest such streak since the 1960s. Yet despite sharply lower inflation, a healthy job market, and a record high stock market, let me say that again, despite sharply lower inflation, a healthy job market, and a record high stock market, many Americans say they're unhappy with the economy, a sentiment that is sure to weigh on President Joe Biden's bid for re-election. Many voters blame Biden for the surge in consumer prices that began in 2021. Though inflationary pressures have significantly eased, average prices remain about 17% above where they stood 3 years ago due to the pandemic. What are your feelings on this economy that seems to be roaring? Are you feeling it? Give us a call, 855-75-CIVIC.
The Tap.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community.
The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Back to the Civic Media Radio Network, 20 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Mr. Zommers, is that for Trigvi Olsen there?
Well, yeah, it's TGIF by Katy Perry, because it's Friday.
A little Katy Perry. The great song for a Friday. By the way, TGIF, thank you, Mr. Zommers. Thanks for all of you for tuning in to the show, 20 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on the Civic Media Radio Network. This story in the Associated Press, right on cue. America's employers delivered another healthy month of hiring in February, adding a surprising 275,000 jobs, and again showcasing the U.S. economy's resilience in the face of high interest rates. According to the Associated Press, the latest figures reflected the job market's sustained ability to withstand the 11 rate hikes the Fed imposed on its drive against inflation, which made borrowing much costlier for households and businesses. Employers have continued to hire briskly to meet steady demand for consumers across the economy. So, according to the Associated Press, the February figures will likely make Fed officials more comfortable about cutting interest rates sometime in the coming months. With December and January job gains revised sharply down, wage growth easing, and unemployment rates up, the Fed's policymakers aren't likely to worry about an overheating of the economy. So if you break that down, what does that actually mean? It means that the Biden administration has played this just about right. We've said it before. If you compare it to other democracies around the world, major countries, the inflation rate in the United States has come down the quickest in the world. And now jobs, more people are getting hired, unprecedented job numbers. The economy is roaring. And yes, I get it. Some people are saying that it's still costing too much for groceries or whatnot. But I repeat again what we've been saying. As someone who was working a manager in retail before getting back into radio here, a lot of these companies, a lot of these corporations took and are still taking advantage of the pandemic situation. Because we know that some price increases and shortages were in fact due to the fact that goods are being made overseas. And because of the pandemic, it was difficult to get those goods here. That meant that shelves were bare or certainly down in inventory, and it meant that prices went up. There are other corporations who already had inventory in their warehouses on U.S. soil, or in some cases, the product is made here, and they simply use the pandemic and COVID to say, well, you know, prices are going up. And so they marked up inventory they already had. Why? Because they could. And now that things are getting better, retailers, businesses are not going to suddenly say, well, okay, we'll just mark everything back down to where it was. No, because people kind of say, well, okay, I guess that's how much it costs now. So what I'm saying is a lot of this, that the prices that we're paying at grocery stores and for retail goods, part of that is due to the pandemic. Part of that is due to retailers and corporations taking advantage of the situation. But if you look at the economy in terms of the stock market, if you look at the economy in terms of inflation, if you look at the economy in terms of jobs being created, it could not be better given all the circumstances. And now here we hear the reporting of the Associated Press. It appears that the Fed may be looking at bringing interest rates back down. May. Don't make any, I'm not a financial advisor, so don't make any decisions based on what I say. But it's observational. And again, I think that last night is just a great indication where Republicans are going to have a very difficult time trying to say, how are we going to try to pigeonhole President Biden moving into the general election cycle now? You clearly can't take that speech and say, well, he has, you know, some sort of dementia or Alzheimer's or he's cognitively impaired. A reasonable person can't take a look at last night's speech and come away with that. You can. And as I said before, now they're making up this goofy lies about, oh my gosh, is he on amphetamines or coke or what? I mean, this is what they're saying over at Fox and OWN and Newsmax. Because they're trying to find some way to take down a good person. Someone who's compassionate, somebody who's empathetic, someone who wants to believe in the best of Americans, not the worst of Americans, someone who wants to unite us and not divide us. I think Joe Biden's general election is off to a great start. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Make it easy for you, 855-75-CIVIC. On the old text line or the call line, I guess you'd say. You could also text us as well on the Civic Media app. Want to start off here. We're going to get into it more after a news update here at the bottom of the hour. But BadgerExtra.com had a great story, great interview with former Wisconsin Athletic Director Barry Alvarez, who is speaking out on name, image, and likeness for college athletes. And incidentally, I think part of the reason they got this story, and it's funny, it's one of these things that's funny, but it's not. A couple of days ago, I woke up to a really weird Twitter feed, and I'm not sure exactly who started this, and there's some speculation it was Ohio State fans, because they're the ones that really perpetuated it online. Somebody had the audacity to start the rumor that Barry Alvarez had died, and there's all these rest in peace, Barry, and all this. And then it turns out that legit reporters, like I believe it's Cole Bartholomew of the State Journal and Jeff Patricus of the Journal Sentinel and others, like called up Chris McIntosh, the current athletic director at Wisconsin, and found out that was just a complete lie and fabrication started online. In fact, Barry Alvarez's daughter tweeted out yesterday morning. She said, I can attest that he is very much alive. I just had dinner with him last night. So I think Barry wanted to prove he was still alive, and so he's done a couple of interviews here in the last 24 hours or so, and one of them was with BadgerExtra.com, and talking about name, image, and likeness, all right? This is the thing that started a couple of years ago where it allows college players to do a deal, a sponsorship, be it a car dealership, be it, you know, a restaurant, be it a clothing brand like Nike or somebody, and say, hey, I could get product by following you or promoting you on my social follows, or I'm just going to get paid out for endorsing your product. And what part of that stemmed, by the way, from right here in Wisconsin several years ago, when then Nigel Hayes, one of the star players on the 14-15 Badger men's basketball team, when College Game Day was in town from ESPN for football, and he held up this sign saying something about poor college athlete, please send money for food, and brought awareness to a lot of these athletes at the time were actually very poor because of the demands of academics and athletics. They didn't have time to get a job. And so that's really what started the lawsuit that went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court and allowed players to get name, image, and likeness money. Well, now, could it spread to the Wisconsin high school system? We'll talk about all that, take your phone calls and more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Tom Lawball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Your news starts now.
This is 93.5 The Tap. CBS News Brief. Oppenheimer takes the cake at the Oscars, winning 7 on ABC, including Best Director for Christopher Nolan.
Winning this recognition from my peers is just, I mean, the icing on the cake.
Barbie won just one award for Best Song. Billie Eilish, now the youngest to win 2 Academy Awards. Emma Stone beat out Lily Gladstone for Best Actress. The U.S. has airlifted non-essential embassy personnel out of Haiti's capital as gangs step up violence in a bid to oust the president. CBS's Christian Benavides.
The Haitian leader who organized the uprising warned there will be a civil war that will, quote, end in genocide if Henri doesn't step down.
What happened to Princess Charlotte's arm in a Kate Middleton Mother's Day photo? CBS's Matt Piper.
But the Associated Press, Reuters, and other news agencies later removed the photo from distribution to news organizations worldwide, and the British press has been all over it since.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers want to fire 2 more of Governor Evers' appointees. A state Senate committee Friday recommended John Miller and Dana Wachs be removed from the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents. The Senate meets next week. The body has fired or rejected well over a dozen of the Democratic governor's appointees. People who fell into bad eating habits during the pandemic are trying to do better. Registered dietitian Bailey Holmquist recommends cutting out processed proteins.
I tell my patients, do what you're able to, but if we can get good grass-fed meat, pasture-raised eggs, wild-caught fish, so that we get the most nutrients out of those animals.
Holmquist says beans and peanut butter are good alternatives that cost less and are easier to find. March is National Nutrition Month. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We have a couple of very nice days coming up here this week. Today, mostly sunny. We'll get to 68 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, 42. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 64. On Wednesday, mostly cloudy near 60 with showers possible by Thursday and Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now, I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. That is the incomparable University of Wisconsin Marching Band, that recording under the direction of the incomparable former director for 50 years, Michael Lecrone, who, of course, it was revealed on this program by the wonderful Doug Moe, has been writing a book, a biography of sorts, with Mike Lecrone. Looking forward to reading that and looking forward to having them on the program, hopefully here in the future. Playing a little, if you want to be a Badger, come along with me. For those watching on the stream, I have my Wisconsin Badger hoodie on today. Went to the game last night. Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team got back on the winning track. Great senior night for Tyler Wall. Had a nice game. But really, it was some of the other players. A.J. Storr had a great game. Blackwell had a great game.
I missed it, and they won.
And McGee. McGee's been out with an ankle injury or a foot injury. He just lit the place up. I mean, his energy is just infectious on the court and off. So really, really happy that the Badgers got back on the winning streak. I think we have Purdue left, and then on to the Big Ten tournament, and then hopefully on to the NCAA tournament as well. You can hear that game. Of course, I was there, but I had my earbud in and listened to it on the Civic Media app. You can always listen to the Badger sports games via the Civic Media app. Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin Rapids, Amory, the fine stations that carry that. So you can always listen to it on the Civic Media app as well. Well, and before the break here, I gave the story. With this story is printed in BadgerExtra.com, and former UW athletic director Barry Alvarez appeared yesterday on the Wildy and Tausch program on ESPN Wisconsin. So that's the credit where credit is due here. It says, add former University of Wisconsin athletic director Barry Alvarez to a growing number of folks who are worried about the future of college football. Alvarez said the college football's current model with name, image, and likeness money available to players and the transfer portal being so prevalent is, quote, unsustainable. Alvarez said, quote, it is out of control and unsustainable. On Wildy and Tausch on ESPN Wisconsin, the paying of players, he says, is supposed to be illegal for coaches to use cash to endorse or to encourage players or recruit players. But that's exactly what's happening. And I just read the other day, a coach said, one of the coaches that resigned said, quote, it just got too much. I'm trying to raise money for a kid who hasn't played yet. He's going to make more money than me, unquote. Alvarez says it's just out of control, unsustainable. It's going to screw up college football. It's going to ruin college football as we know it, unquote. So that's what Barry, I mean, Barry Alvarez, he talks to a lot of people. He is revered for what he did at Wisconsin as a football coach. An athletic director, has been an advisor to the Big Ten Conference, has been part of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, has been an analyst for Fox Sports. Barry Alvarez, probably one of the most connected people in college athletics in America. And this is what he's saying. In this article from BadgerExtra.com, Alvarez, who is 77, as we said before the break there, was on the show yesterday in part. part because on Wednesday morning, a rumor arose on Twitter that Alvarez had died, which was quickly debunked by Badger Extra reporters and others. College football has been grappling with the ramifications of NIL since college athletes were allowed to take payments for endorsements and appearances and the like since July of 2021. NIL payments being a part of the recruiting world was an inevitability, and the legality of the NCAA's ban on using name, image, and likeness monies to entice recruits is the subject of an active lawsuit in Tennessee. Alvarez was asked about the possible solutions to find a manageable middle ground, and he suggested installing a commissioner of college football and separating the programs who have the budgets to and are willing to pay players more. Now, this is interesting. We've talked on Fridays to our very own Brady Ewing, who is a three-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin football, was the captain of the team along with Russell Wilson at that year, went to three Rose Bowls and spent 3 years in the NFL. And Brady has kind of alluded to this in his opinion, just one person's opinion, but he has said that he thinks basically a professional, almost like a Premier League or whatever, is coming from soccer, is coming to college football. Here's what Alvarez said yesterday on Wilde and Tausch on ESPN. Quote, you want to see what teams, pardon me, try this again, Todd, take two. Here's Alvarez's quote. You want to see what teams want to play? Alvarez said of how he'd fix the issue he sees. Quote, you've got a group of guys that know football, former coaches from each league, and to see what direction they want to go. I don't mind stipends for players, paying players with limits. I know there's a lot of legal ramifications when you go that route, but I think that that horse is out of the barn. But get a group that wants to play big-time college football, that can afford it, and can agree upon the same rules, and then have someone that's there running the group that will enforce the rules that they put in place. Barry Alvarez went on to say, I hate to lose big-time college football, but you've got to have the haves and have-nots. But you've got the haves and have-nots. You've got somebody who can't do it, somebody that can. Some are out there raising money to pay players. It's just not sustainable. I just see the whole thing that's blowing up unless they have some drastic changes, unquote. Those are the words of former athletic director Barry Alvarez on what he thinks is coming to college football. And again, ironically or not, I guess, but interestingly, this really all started in Wisconsin with former college men's basketball player Nigel Hayes making a very big deal on national television about this and joining a group of college players, men and women both, who said, as a D1 college athlete, I have to have a certain grade point average. And we are expected to go to tutoring. We have to keep our grades up. We are also expected, because we're on scholarship for our tuition, that we have to do whatever basically our athletic programs want. And we are essentially professional athletes. And we have to eat a certain way. We have to train a certain way. We have to be at practices. We have to watch film. And that basically being a D1 athlete is a job. And yes, we get paid in terms of our tuition. But that we also have to keep our academics up. And depending upon your major, that could be nearly a full-time job as well, which means that many, if not most, D1 athletes don't have the time to go out and get a job that paid them. And so there were a lot of D1 college athletes, big-time names in basketball and football and other sports, where they were eating, you know, ramen noodles every night or going hungry or only eating when the team would feed them, which has increased, by the way, since this all happened, and couldn't pay rent. And so Nigel Hayes had a lawsuit. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. And basically the Supreme Court said, look, players should be able to make money off of their name, image, and likeness. But as Barry points out here, Barry Alvarez, it's gotten a bit out of control. I can't remember. I can stand corrected. But I think it was like New Mexico or Nevada, one of those teams out west. They got a sponsorship from a local Dodge Ram dealership, and they gave every scholarship player on their football team a brand new 2024 Dodge Ram 1500. I mean, you're talking 60 grand a piece at least. And their booster club raised the money to give the scholarship players a brand new Dodge Ram. Now, first of all, think about how the walk-on guys felt, right? The guys who, I mean, they're getting nothing. But also think about, you know, how, you know, Wisconsin's had a premier cross-country and track program, has won countless national championships under Nuttycombe, Coach Nuttycombe. Now, some of those people, men and women, get NIL deals, but certainly not the way that the basketball team does or the football team does. So it's not perfect. Now, our very own Jimmy Cuska wrote a story, you can find it on civicmedia.com, entitled NIL Opportunities for High School Student Athletes in Wisconsin to Be Considered. And this part just floors me. So here's the story from our very own Jimmy Cuska on Civic Media. The Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association, WIAA, announced on Tuesday that an amendment to allow name, image, and likeness deals for high school student athletes would be presented to school districts at next month's annual meeting. The NIL deals for high school student athletes are allowed in 33 states, not including Wisconsin, as of the end of 2023, according to data from the National Federation of State High School Associations. The WIAA is placing an amendment before its membership that would affect the rules and eligibility of student athletes, allowing them to make money based on their recognizability. If the amendment is passed, students can take NIL opportunities as long as there's no association with their school, conference, team, or the WIAA. NIL opportunities are also restricted to certain categories. In general, NIL deals have to be age appropriate. So I suppose, you know, you couldn't have a 16-year-old athlete endorsing beer, right? Because they're underage to drink beer. The National Federation of High Schools said that when the NIL was approved, it was intended for college student athletes. However, because the laws that apply to NIL are tied to state statute, eligibility for NIL varies from state to state. In the past 2 years, 33 states have passed NIL guidance, including all but one of Wisconsin's border states. How do you feel about this? Should Wisconsin high school kids be able to have an NIL deal? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Dick in Madison. Dick, thanks for calling. What say you?
No, not at all. And to this whole subject, I've been saying this for a few years already. I'm not saying these kids at the collegiate level shouldn't get compensated. You know, they could lose a lot, never get a shot at the pros. Mm-hmm. Many of them don't anyway. But, you know, when Kirst was here as coach, he couldn't have got a classier guy, right?
Right.
I would say that about him.
Absolutely.
And there was rumor, and I tend to believe this about him, that, oh, the game's passed him by. I don't think the game itself had passed him by so much as I think he was just burnt out on this transfer situation, too. You almost have to have a separate coach in charge of that.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all,
Dave. It's crazy when then you look at our present coach. He's lost two assistants after 1 year, or is it three?
Yeah. I've lost track. And part
people,
of that,
I guess what I'm,
go ahead.
I guess what I'm saying is people are hopscotching all over. There's going to be no continuity whatsoever to the college athletics. I mean, something's got to be done. I don't know exactly what it is. I wish I did, but. And by the way, that game was awesome, wasn't it?
It was a great game. But, Dick, you bring up a good point. I want to get your reaction quickly on this. Can you imagine? I mean, already with open enrollment in Wisconsin, you have high school coaches poaching star players from adjacent school districts to move into and play for, or with open enrollment, you don't have to move, but to play for a competing school at a conference. Can you imagine now if you add NIL on top of that? That a school that, you know, you could get a local car dealership for a 17-year-old and say, hey, I get you a brand new Mustang if you come over to this school.
Right. And, you know, about a month or so ago when you had John Roach on, he spoke to this situation with these schools, lavish deals, and who do we go to? John Menard's into racing. Right, he brought up,
right.
And it's out of control. I don't know what the answer is, but
yeah.
I used to like college football. I'm kind of an oddball. I like it better than pro football, personally.
I do too. I'm with you on that. Dick, thanks so much for the call. Have a great weekend. Really appreciate your calls. As always, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Talking about this interview from Barry Alvarez, saying that he's worried name, image, and likeness is going to hurt college sports. And now the WIAA in Wisconsin considering allowing high school players to get paid to play. Back with your phone calls and more on the other side. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Friday on Civic Media.
You're listening to 93.5 WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.